The Money Show.
Personal Finance.
Warren Ingram with Personal Finance on a Thursday night. Warren is an executive director at Galileo Capital. He is a financial advisor. And with all of the bluster, the hellfire and brimstone, the fear, the angst and the anguish of how awful Budget 2020 was going to be, Tito Boweni had the last laugh. It was benign and even positive.
I think my summary would be the best possible job he could have done in the circumstances. And it's so funny because as I'm saying it to you, I think I was sitting here a year ago saying exactly the same thing. And so I think he pulled a rabbit out the hat. You know, I mean, I think I can't think of one sort of reasonable, reasonably respected person that came out before the time saying he's going to have a huge impact on the wage bill. He's gonna somehow relax exchange controls. He's gonna talk about, you know, dropping corporate tax. Nobody that I can think of would have done that.
That's why it's so smart, because it caught absolutely everybody unawares. And I think secretly the Treasury, the team, the finance cluster loves it when the market gets it as wrong as it does, because you can then deliver almost anything on budget day and it's better than the worst case expectations. And so therefore everyone goes, oh, that's awful, but it's better than we thought.
It's better than we thought. So I just need to grab my soapbox quickly. I mean, I think, so some really big insurance companies, investment houses and the like, take their overpaid economists, do press releases and come out with the scariest budget forecasts, budget predictions that you can come across. What it does gets huge traction, because no one would have given them airtime if they'd said, no, we think this is going to be a benign budget and everything will actually sort of be okay. They would have got no airtime. So what do? They come up with a really scary, now with hindsight, fairly indefensible set of forecasts, and they get lots of press coverage. I know you didn't give it to them, but they did.
But what, again, I was looking at a lot of the statements that were coming out, and we discussed it as a team, and just like, maybe, but unlikely. Maybe, no. And logic has got to prevail. So if media is repeating the supposition of the financial services industry, then that is, media's got a role to play in that as well. The scare stories are all feasible. It was possible that VAT could go up. It was possible that the marginal rate could go up to 48%. It would have been suicidal. It would have been lunacy, as National Treasury admits in its own budget documents yesterday, that South African taxpayers cannot take any more.
Exactly.
It didn't mean, and again, there's also a bias that goes to, us not trusting government. I mean, government betrayed our trust. 9/12, December 9th, 2015, and Nhlanhla Nene gets fired, and trust died that day. Nothing the officials do and everything. Politicians. People simply don't touch politicians and their intentions.
Yeah. So I'll give them these kind of, naysayers that as a credit in this whole thing. But the downside of this is, I think they're doing it for publicity. I think they're doing it to stay relevant, and I think that they're feeling unheard, and this is a great way to take advantage of all of our fears, and then play on it. And so that's really the one thing I wanted to say before I get off my soapbox to people listening to us, is stop listening to these outrageous forecasts that everything's going to be terrible. I can't tell you how many times in the last month or two I've had people saying, oh, I've heard that exchange controls are going to be tightened, that things are going to, the budget's going to be terrible. They're going to take away all our money, and
they
and just
them.
Just stop and just think about it for a second, or stop listening to that stuff, because frankly, most of the time it's rubbish. Twitter doesn't help you with this. The talking heads that are no longer getting exposure need to stay relevant. They get louder, they get more dramatic, and for your own sanity, if you're a listener to this show and you want to make your investment decisions, you can't, in the week or two or three or month before the budget, listen to this and then say, whoa, okay, I'm not contributing to my RA, or going to cash in my Provident Fund, quit my job or whatever, because these commentators from big insurance companies, wherever they are saying things that look really scary. Don't do it.
And you're absolutely right on that point, because there were some very significant announcements in this budget. And I was on a soapbox earlier about the credibility of the budget process depending entirely on delivery. Because if they don't deliver this time, as Richard Quest was saying in that video that went very viral at Davos, when when we chatted to him there, it's like South Africa's government has no credibility. We have to restore credibility. And the credibility now depends on government's ability to cut spending because there is no more revenue. They've admitted that much. They admitted they can't squeeze any more out of us. So therefore, there's one other option, and that is to cut expenditure. You either take it away from old people who will starve to death if you do, or from little babies who will die of terrible diseases if you do, or you say to civil servants, take it for the team.
And I think, you know, I was trying to think of a clever thing to say if you'd asked me before the time, what do I expect from the budget? And it would have been, are we going to protect 1.3 million, highly unionized, highly protected, very overpaid employees of the state, or do we protect 55, 60 million South Africans? And that to me is what it feels like, is that actually this was a zoom out budget to say, we're tired of protecting the vested interests of the few. We're now going to protect the whole country. We're going to do what's right for the country.
A zoom out?
A zoom out. Zoomer's out already.
There we go. But this was getting rid of, cleansing the halls.
So the expenditure issue, great. And I think the other thing that I liked in this budget was there was quite a bit, and even if it wasn't explicit, there was quite a lot of messaging about allowing or creating an environment for growth, because yes, we've got an expenditure.
Without growth, there is nothing,
and that's the point. So the budget problem that we have, and the Eskom problem we have, and all of those things can become much more manageable the moment our economy starts to grow very well. So to me, that's what I really liked out of this budget more than anything.
Okay, quick, the financial immigration, massively controversial. Lots of people getting very frightened about the future of South Africa in the last 6 to 8 months. I've been hearing this term of financial immigration. I'm selling everything. I'm moving my money out the country. I'm immigrating financially. Well, if you're immigrating financially, what you're still doing living here, and that's your choice, I suppose. But financial immigration is soon to be a thing of the past, or is a thing of the past, or is changing.
It's going to change, and I think. But I also think they're going to look at people who have immigrated. So I think it's a couple of things in this, because I think things like blocked rand accounts, which are crazy, are going to go away. You don't go through the whole Reserve Bank process to do this, and it becomes a much more lean and rational process. What's really important is the wording around there to say we're actually listening. You know, that's really what they're saying, is we realize that there's some, I mean, it was a silly piece of legislation right in the beginning. They like all of these things, there is some merit in what they want to do, but the problem here was the way that it was coming out. The unintended consequences were people who, for example, go and do a 5 or 8 year stint overseas working in a place that doesn't tax them, that they are almost forced by the legislation in its previous form, or maybe still current form, to actually leave the country for good. That's really what it was actually going to get to. Very complicated, very messy.
Lots of people go and work elsewhere to make a bundle of cash to bring back, and many of those people bring back that money and invest it, because I'm going to go work overseas for 2 years, make a pile of cash. The We Buy Cars guys, school teachers, went and worked overseas, made money, and came back and started We Buy Cars. There's an example of how financial immigration would have blown that business out of the water.
It would have made it much more difficult for them to come back.
They wouldn't have.
And I think that's the point here. So I like that. I think the rationality's there. I'm not sure I understand it 100%, but I'm...
No, there's still a process, and the documents are very clear, saying we're changing this, and the detail will come. So it's in the works.
The next part I don't understand is more around the exchange controls for the rest of us. I get a feeling, and again, I'm not sure I understand 100%, that we are actually now going to be allowed in a way to send out more than 10 million rand per year if we've got that kind of money.
Well, aren't you lucky? All right then. Can I go with your money somewhere and have fun?
So that I think is also happening. I think that you're going to be audited, et cetera, but there is going to be some kind of a process there. Very important signals, because what it's saying to everybody who's fearful,
your money is not trapped in South Africa. Your money may move freely. Therefore, you don't need to rush your money out. You can safely leave your money in any jurisdiction that you please, including in South Africa, because at some point in the future, if you do want to move it, you're free to do so.
Exactly. And I really hope Pavlo touches on the issue around corporate tax rates, because I think that's a big one. You know, I think if any signal to business that we're going to drop your tax rates, I think is a really good one. The small little things that they did, which I really liked, increasing the amount we can put in our tax-free savings accounts.
But they've hadn't increased the amount. They've increased the increments you can put in from 30 to 33, now 36,000 yes. rand a month, but there's still a cap of 500,000. So you'll get to your cap more quickly. They haven't increased the big amount.
So take what you can get. In this situation, sure. It means that that at least your more money can compound tax-free faster.
Upside? Yes.
So let's take it.
Of course.
Yesterday was a good day. We need to celebrate the
goodness. I haven't seen you smile like this on a Thursday night in years.
Caused by politicians, no doubt. Yeah, no, I mean, just to stay on that, you know. So I think that was for
Are
me.
Are you feeling quite well?
Yeah, I was sick last week. So I think also the changes in the budget or the tax tables, I like that.
And this is also so counterintuitive because there was not one single forecast before this budget that said, you know what, there's room for tax relief. And if you do allow tax relief, and I asked Edward Kiesvetter this question saying, did you want to do more? And he said, yes, we did, but we couldn't. And there's 2 billion rands worth of tax relief. The richest person in South Africa this year will not pay more tax than they did last year. Unless they earn more. But I mean, as a percentage of their money, of their wealth, there's no big, the only element of potential wealth tax that is coming in here, and there's no big changes to capital gains and to all of those nasty taxes. But you know, I think it looks to me, that perhaps the top end of the housing market's been loaded a little bit. Or has that not changed either?
You're catching me off guard. I actually didn't see anything about...
Got you. Certainly, they've cut transfer duties on properties below R1 million.
Fair enough.
And then it gets complicated because it's R1 million on the first 10 or 11 and then 13% on every million after that or something. That looks higher, but I may be wrong.
I'm really happy if they taxed them there. I think that's great. I think about houses as an investment anyway. So that, and then the only moan I had in the whole thing that I would have loved was they should have increased the tax on plastic shopping bags to sort of R1 or R2 a bag and really make people stop and think before they go and buy. Because I heard Tsego Modisane talking about this, saying he doesn't even think about it if he goes shopping. And he would have thought about it. If his plastic bag cost him $5 or $10, he'd take recyclable ones, you know, and the canvas ones, whatever the deal is. So that would have been the only thing I actually really wanted to complain about. But for the rest, well done, Tito.
I think next year, what we do is we bombard Tito Mboweni with messages. We call it the Modisani tax, and we make it his fault. And we demand that plastic bags cost $10 each.
Yeah. I mean, you know what?
Why must turtles choke? Because Modisani doesn't care about the future.
Exactly. And what will happen is within 1 year, plastic bags will be gone.
Absolutely.
Let's do it. Come on, Tito.
Warren Ingram with a smile. What on earth is going on in this place?